You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
Hello, hello. Welcome to the X-Man Podcast. I'm your host, Doc Coyle. Thank you so much for checking out the program. Might sound a little different this week. I am on a different microphone on my AKG. Shout out to AKG Harman. On my AKG web mic, or USB mic, excuse me. And I'm in a hotel in Nashville. And I did not put out a show last week. And a lot of things... There were many crossing ships in the night, and so I had essentially Bad Wolves put out a record on October 29th, and as you can imagine, there's a lot of work that goes into releasing an album, and then leading up to that, I've been very quiet about this, but The Wedding Band, the band I do with Rob and Kirk from Metallica, and John Theodore from Queens of the Stone Age, and Whitfield Crane from Ugly Kid Joe, and now Mark Asugueta from Death Angel, is doing a gig in December. And we had rehearsals pretty much Halloween weekend. And then I had 25 songs to review, I think 8 or 9 new songs. And so I was kind of, everything was mashed up with that, plus all the work I had to do surrounding the album release. And then I immediately, once the album was out, had to fly to Nashville, and we're doing more rehearsals out here. So I want to apologize for essentially just not putting out a show last week, but it was just a real time crunch with everything that was going on. And it happens. I don't like to skip weeks, but you know, it just, it is what it is. So I apologize. And I just haven't been able to book guests. And I was this week, I was running up against the same issue because I've been rehearsing all day and literally haven't had time to even record an interview. So I was like, you know what? Doc Coyle will just talk to the people. But anyway, it is really exciting to do another Wedding Band gig. Being involved with this crew and this circle every time around it is, it's just mind-blowing. And I feel so grateful to be a part of that circle, man. And just, for me, it's like school. I try and not, you know, shut my mouth up and do more listening than talking and absorb the environment. There's so much just musicality, man. These guys just love music so much, and the way they absorb, like we'll listen to songs and the way they hear music and the way they vibe off ideas. It's very free-flowing and very organic. And me, I'm so much more kind of regimented, kind of in the way I organize things. I definitely want some sense of control over musical environments. And it's and so in that way, I think any environment I could be around that loosens me up and forces me to kind of get outside of my comfort zone and think on top of my feet and kind of feel more and think less, I think is a good environment. And you know, just to observe people at the top of the industry and see how they work, see what their habits are, is always going to be super helpful. So it's been a lot of fun. I'm just playing guitar pretty much every day. And that's a blessing. And I'm just around great people. And it's just, you know, around some of my heroes. And that's a beautiful thing. So I definitely have to, it's very exciting. And then everything going on with the Bad Wolves album. Oh, actually, before I get into that, the Wedding Man show, it's going to be in San Francisco in December. It's not on sale yet. It hasn't really been announced yet, but putting that out there. So it's going to be a hot ticket. Let me put it that way. It's in a theater, and it's going to be a lot of VIPs. So good luck getting a ticket. Don't be calling me asking for guest lists, because the answer is no, sons of bitches. But be on the lookout for that. Anyway, Bad Wolves did put an album out, I guess, last week, or I guess now it's about 10 days ago, 10, 11 days ago. And a lot of people, what was the record sales? And I want to kind of put something out there because I've seen something like news stories that'll get picked up, whether it's Lamb Goat or the PRP or whatever, Metal Injection, or a website will like do a story where they go, oh, such and such band, it's the lowest charting, or their album didn't chart. And, you know, I've seen that for Atreyu or Fear Factory or a few bands. There was one about Whitechapel. And I just need to, like, people kind of need to start reconfiguring the way they understand that stuff. Partially because the industry, and especially our record label, Better Noise, is going away from, not even going away, they've gone away from putting an emphasis on record sales at all. It's pretty much all streaming. That's where their focus is. So with Bad Wolves, if you notice, you're paying attention, we essentially announced our album 6 weeks before it was released and only released one song to all streaming services during that time. House of Cards was only released to YouTube. And so that was essentially geared towards the idea that we really weren't going to focus on record sales. Because if you were focused on record sales, what you would do is actually plan the record way in advance and then release songs slowly over a period of time. Like, for example, Black Veil Brides, who put out a record the first week or the same week as we did, they had a song on that record that was out for 6 months. Spirit Box had a song, Holy Roller, on their record that was out for like a year and a half before the album came out. And so it kind of serves like a commercial for that record. But our focus really is on getting streams in the long term. Now, what it does is, if you don't have like a splashy first week, it kind of, that's a great like marketing thing to go, hey, look at how psyched people are about a record. They went and bought the record and did all this. And I do think it's still, that's still a cool thing. And ideally you'd want both. But I definitely think with Bad Wolves, we understand we're in this kind of transition rebuilding phase. And a lot of that is just going to be getting on the road and playing the record, playing these songs, reintroducing the band, and connecting with fans, right? Just being out there, talking to people, you know, just reforming that connection. So much about the fan engagement is connection. And a lot of that, too, is just letting the songs kind of do the work. And so I think the real kind of gauge of where we're at is going to be in 6 months. It's going to be in a year. And so it's like trying, there's a discipline to being not so results-based, because of course you need certain results to have a career. But to me, the discipline is looking in the long view and understanding there's just a lot of work to do, you know? And I'm really proud of the record. I think it came out great. And I think as people discover the music, it's gonna do really well, I think. So it's gonna be exciting. And I kinda, in many ways, it's being the underdog. It's a place I'm very comfortable with. But there are a lot of encouraging metrics, streaming wise, that are really cool to look at. So it's, and I'm a stats nerd, so I get into the weeds a little bit and I check what this band is doing and this band is doing, and kind of analytics definitely give you a gauge of where you're at. But like I said, we're definitely changing the singer. That's not easy, you know? And like I said, announcing a record 6 weeks, boom, it's out. And also another big factor in those first weeks is vinyl. So some bands that had big first week's sales in the last couple months, Mastodon, Spirit Box, Every Time I Die, they all had their vinyl available. Our vinyl won't be available until May of 2022. So you see with Spirit Box, out of their like 20,000 or 18,000 records they sold, 10,000 of them were vinyl. right? Mastodon, similar number. So that doesn't, those sales don't count until the vinyl actually shows up. And a lot of these factories have an 8-month lead time. So these are just things to factor. But listen, it looks great. Do we want to chart and do that? It's a nice thing to brag about, for sure. But like I said, it's a different long view. So I just wanted to give a little context there to see, understand where business-wise, where we're kind of looking at things. And, you know, it's just all about going out and working the record. And I think that's something people have forgotten about too, is you don't really want a record that sells really well the first week and then it kind of falls off and that's it. It kind of falls off the mountain. You don't hear from it. You really want something with some lasting power. And I think there's going to be some songs on this record. You know, 6 months from now, there's a song called Springfield Summer. I think that song's going to go. I think it's going to be big. And so we're going to do that. I'm going to have a sip real quick. I'm going to try and do no edits on this. Let's do it organic, all right? That's right. Talking makes you thirsty. Really does. Oh, excuse me. So something I wanted to talk about as well, I'm sure you guys have heard that Travis Scott, the rapper, had a festival a few days back called Astroworld in Houston, and 8 people died and over 100 people were injured, where people stormed the gates and rushed the stage. And, you know, it's just a real absolute tragedy. And I don't know, I've seen some good takes. I've seen some very reactionary things to it. I think one take I don't like is basically to kind of just diss hip hop fans and go, they're garbage people and that's why this happened. And I really don't think that's the case. I mean, there's a million hip hop shows and this hasn't happened, as far as I've known, in any recent history. So I think it's really something that theoretically could happen anytime. I know a lot of the bigger shows, what they'll do is they'll do like crowd partitions, you know, maybe in the center, or some of the big festivals, they'll do one in the center and then one up kind of midway through the field. And then they'll might do that a couple times to and mitigate how many people can kind of get in a certain area. So clearly there was issues with the way this was kind of structurally organized, but so much of the criticism is really around Travis Scott himself, because it's his festival. He owns it. He's the promoter, I guess, or works with a promoter. And he was on stage performing when this happened. And there's video of an ambulance literally making its way through the crowd, which I've never seen. I've never seen that. And essentially him kind of disregarding it. There was no real concern in his response to that for how to essentially deal with what was going on. There was no curiosity of, why is there a fucking ambulance here? And he immediately goes to, all right, get your hands up. I want the ground to shake. I mean, you know, what it kind of drew to me was the idea, and I've seen this in certain performers, where I think the crowd going off, right, for certain people is really like a giant ego feeder. It's like the crowd, and so, to some regard, is there to entertain the entertainer. And so the crazier they can make the crowd go, it's a reflection of their power or their stature, that I am God amongst men. I am Moses. I part the the Red Sea. And I don't know. I just catch those vibes from him. And it's not to say like, okay, this guy's a bad guy or whatever. But I do think it's a situation where the moment itself was about him, you know, and him getting off. And this ambulance or whatever was going on in the crowd was like an inconvenience to him getting to enjoy the show in the way he wanted to. And it's unfortunate. I mean, of course it's unfortunate, but in some ways it kind of reminds me of what happened with Alec Baldwin shooting someone on a set because there was a problem with this gun that had, you know, this gun that had real bullets in it and people died, where something really bad has to happen for people to understand that these are like really big stakes and you have to just be really careful. Like if, and people are dead and there's no coming back from that. And there's a 9-year-old kid who's in like an induced coma with like brain damage and shit from this, a 9-year-old kid. That's fucking crazy. And I don't really think, like, listen, you never know, but he issued an apology. Wasn't that great in my opinion. And, you know, the reason why I'm talking about it is because this affects all of us in the concert industry. And it's really important that when you have 50,000 people, which were there in kind of the palm of your hand, that you really pay attention to people's safety, because it's real easy for things to go awry. And a lot of these security teams are understaffed, or maybe they don't even have, they're not highly skilled. Maybe they don't have training to kind of deal with issues of this magnitude. So you just don't want anything like, you know, I mean, I remember this happened. I mean, Guns N' Roses, I think this happened where people died. Pearl Jam, a situation. So it's been a while, but it should never happen, you know? So it's just a real tragedy. But I don't know, I just kind of wanted to talk about that. I'm just going to kind of blast through a couple topics because I was like, you know, fuck it. I'll talk about some stuff, you know? Why not? This is what we got. This is going to be super long, but I figured in lieu of not having a full show, I would just give you guys a little commentary what's going on in the news. So what else is going on? Apparently Marilyn Manson is Christian now. Oh my God. I really wonder, I mean, because this is always the move, right? When you're on the I fucked up tour, right? People usually go Christian. It's the, because, you know, it is a religion based in forgiveness, which, listen, I'm about that. I support that. But coming from Marilyn Manson, this feels very rich, right? I mean, or is he not really doing that? Is he just kind of like, maybe this is Kanye putting out an olive branch? The Olive Garden? Yeah, it's putting out an olive branch and giving him a lifeline, so to speak, which is kind of interesting because wasn't Kanye supposed to be canceled? So how can someone who's canceled give you a lifeline? I guess I think Kanye, he's definitely in uncancelable territory, right? I mean, because I guess everything he's done is more like saying dumb shit or doing dumb things or inconsiderate things, but he's not like done anything. He hasn't killed anyone or raped anyone. So he's in like a different camp of cancellation, you know. But with Manson, I wonder what the end game is with this. But I guess when everyone's hating on you and people aren't picking up the phone, I guess you gotta take any calls you can get, especially if it's Kanye, who's a billionaire, you know. But I, like, my theory with Manson is I really don't think, unless he goes to prison or something like that, I think eventually he'll come out of it, because even though there's definitely some credible accusations, there's other stuff where it's kind of feels more like it's less on formidable ground. It's kind of hard to say. But I also think, I actually kind of came to this realization about especially musicians and like comedians, like people who directly entertain you, right? Like an actor, it's a little different because they have to be in a movie, and a movie is inherently, it's an ensemble, a group, there's a director, right? It's not really an individual pursuit. But you could be a, you know, Marilyn Manson could go in a studio with a producer and just make an album and then it's out, right? He doesn't even really need a record label. And he can just go do shows. And I think ultimately what people, if you, there's an exchange, right? And the exchange is I give you music you like, or maybe a persona you like, or this thing that's called entertainment. And as long as you're entertained, part of that deal isn't necessarily you being a good person, right? And so I think people are kind of okay with you not checking all those boxes as long as you provide the entertainment. And I'm actually kind of okay with that, you know? Right? Like, why do, you know, does Ben and Jerry, do they need to be nice guys for me to know that the ice cream is good? You know? I know like people have this kind of, these, I think this is this, describes this point in time as right, this ethical concerns of like, you know, is this conflict ice cream? Are there, you know, child labor in sweatshops making this ice cream? And we want to kind of have a relationship with our consumerism that doesn't feel dirty. But ultimately, if the symbolic ice cream is good, I think it's going to be hard to kind of shut that down. And there's only one Marilyn Manson, right? Dude, his last record was great. I'm not going to lie. It was really good. And it was never under the presupposition that he was a great guy. He's the god of fuck, the Antichrist superstar. I don't know. I think the only thing that bums me out about some of this stuff and how bad it may be is I remember after Columbine, and he had that great interview on Bowling for Columbine, and he just sounded like a really intelligent guy. And what bums me out about it is that back in the day when he came out and everyone was protesting him and they were like burning his records and Christians were showing up, their stereotype is, oh, well, he's an evil guy. He's a Satanist and he's this and that. So if all that stuff turns out to be true and he's really this kind of destructive, abusive person, it kind of makes them look right. And that's the kind of bummer for that. But it's weird. I kind of think the problem with a lot of this stuff is I'm completely down with like the path to redemption. But part of that is to say, hey, I fucked up. I did a bad thing A or B or C or D, and here's what I'm going to do to kind of change that. And I think that's either the person didn't do the thing, or they did, but they have a different interpretation of it, and maybe it's a more complex story than perhaps is being said by the accuser. But for some reason, they don't think they're in a position to say, I'm sorry. So, or, hey, I was a bad person. I guess you kind of, it's this thing of just don't, never admit it. And that's the way to go through. So it's a tough one. Cause I do think people go, yes, this is fucked up. But it's hard to say. I mean, we do live in some sense, guilty until proven innocent public sphere. But I also think in the sense with like Kanye embracing him or DaBaby, the fact that people are trying to cancel you makes me want to embrace you. And I think there is a whole culture around that as well.
It is now 2024. And the choice is up to you. Do you listen to good podcasts or do you listen to bad ones? Well, we've got a suggestion for you. How about you listen to a good podcast for the first time in your miserable life? I can think of one. Overnight Drive. Going strong. 11 years now. The podcast about nothing. Your favorite podcast's favorite podcast. Do you enjoy nothing? so do we. Why don't you come over and check it out? And stop listening to other podcasts. Thank you.
I don't think it overstates things to say that the Beatles were the greatest gift to entertainment and culture of our time, a secular religion, if you will, with their universal appeal and demonstrable impact on people's lives. I'm Robert Rodriguez, host of Something About the Beatles. With every episode, I speak with historians, musicians, artists, and Beatle witnesses, all in the service of fresh insights into the most joyous cultural entity the world has ever known. I hope you'll join me and listen to Something About the Beatles, now on Evergreen and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, what's up? This is Blake Weiland. I'm the host of the Tone Mob Podcast. It's a show where I interview guitar people about guitar stuff. We talk about their pedals, their amps, their accessories, their preferences, all that stuff, as well as a healthy dose of whatever comes up. Topics have ranged from aliens to addiction and anywhere in between. Oh yeah, and pizza. We're definitely going to be talking about pizza. So get the show wherever you're listening to this podcast at. Just search The Tone Mob in your search bar and it will pop right up. Come join us. We're having a lot of fun. Thanks for checking it out.
But it kind of made me think about the state of cancel culture or whatever that is. And I know I talk about this a lot lately, but it's just something that's so prescient. Like every week there's three different instances or maybe more, right? That you're like, okay, here's this situation, here's that situation. And the funny thing about it is like, we used to just call this a scandal, right? Such and such was involved in a scandal. And now we attach this new label on it. And then people reflexively get in a position, right? And one of my big problems with it is that people will say such and such has been canceled, but they haven't been. So it's like this overly broad term, right? Well, Dave Chappelle is canceled. Even Dave Chappelle, he's like, have I been canceled? Okay, here's what's not being canceled. Being criticized. Being criticized is not being canceled, all right? In an environment where every human being that has a smartphone or a computer can express their opinion, and if you are famous and you do things in the public light that are controversial, you will be criticized. That is not being canceled, okay? And the problem is we're painting such a broad brush. Like, what has Dave Chappelle lost? He's lost his documentary is not being screened at certain film festivals. Okay. It's a consequence. I think it's a temporary consequence. I think in many ways, the funny thing is he's like, oh, I need funding. I'm like, aren't you worth hundreds of millions of dollars? Dave Chappelle can't distribute his own documentary. That's kind of a little strange to me. It's like, dude, don't you have a deal with Netflix? Why can't it be on Netflix? Hold on, let me check my notes. Doesn't everyone have Netflix? I think that's the biggest audience for it. I think they gave this dude like $100 million for his stand-up. So I think they can afford it. And apparently the guy who owns Netflix has your back. But canceling, okay, to me means a few things. One, it means that you've either lost your job, but it has to be due to pressure put on whoever hires you to stop it. It can't just be, oh, they fired you because your company's a dick. I mean, I guess that could be the same thing. Maybe I should qualify that. We'll strike that from the record. So if you're fired or you lose your job or the ability to make a living, I don't think, you know, if you was making $100 million a year and then you were quote unquote canceled and now you're making $50 million a year, I mean, I'm sorry. I'm not going to be that mad at you, right? Like, like even Chappelle, he goes, they canceled J.K. Rowling. I'm like, but what happened to her? A bunch of people were mad at her, but I mean, she's got she's in the hundreds of millions of dollars. So I don't really, I'm sure there were consequences, but this happens all the time. Like, but it doesn't mean you're done. You know, there's certain people like Kevin Spacey was canceled. All right. He ain't in no movies. All right. He's not invited to the Oscar party. Okay. You know what also is not being canceled? Going to jail. That's it. I mean, that's just going to jail. All right. You just went, you did some shit and now you're in jail. But guess what? OJ's out. Bill Cosby's out. Are they still canceled? I guess, but they're out. They still got money. They're still doing things. I mean, I guess, but I don't know. Like the funny thing is, I was thinking about this and I was like, man, Donald Trump was canceled multiple times before he became president, right? And by that, I mean, when he first announced he was running for president, he did that speech and he's like, Mexicans, they're coming over, they bring crime, they bring drugs, they're rapists, right? After that happened, he got dropped from NBC. He lost all this different support, like people that, you know, like he was denigrated by all these people. Oh, where, fuck that guy, right? He was canceled. But then there was an opposite reaction of people that embraced him, right? The grab him by the pussy. How many people stopped supporting Donald Trump after that? So many people, the Republican Party is like, we need to drop this guy. And he still won. So to me, the real people being quote unquote canceled that we have to really worry about is normal people. Is when a regular person says a tweet or whatever, and then they get fired from their job. Like I watched this one documentary on HBO about a guy who was who worked for like an electricity company or something. I forget exactly. He was just a regular dude. And he was just like stretching out his hand and people thought he made like a okay white power symbol. He's like a Mexican dude from California and he got fired and they still won't give him his job back. It's like, that shit's terrible. That's the shit you really have to worry about. The celebrities, it's kind of neither here nor there. I'm sure it's not fun. But I also think like someone, you know, this is not my point that I've made completely on my own, but at some point it's like everyone's going to be canceled. Like, you know, that whole, what is that? You know, 15 minutes of fame. Andy Warhol said like in the future, everyone will be famous for 15 minutes. Now the future is everyone will be canceled for at least an hour. You know, and that will kind of nullify it. But I do think we have to expand our terminology around this thing because it's just too reactionary. Consequences and criticism is not being canceled. And even losing one job, like lost this job, but then you become a martyr and then you get hired by some other thing, then it's not the same thing. And it's just this kind of weird moment. Like, I'll see, cause you know, I patrol on YouTube and there'll be all these videos. Right. And it'll always be like, they'll pick out like a random comedian. They'll go, Jerry Seinfeld gives his thoughts about cancel culture. It's like, wow. Oh, I can't wait to click on this and see what he thinks. I know what he thinks. Like, what's the... And so we're kind of in this thing where we're being fed what we want to hear, right? And, I have lefty friends who will legit, with a straight face, tell me cancel culture does not exist. Which is crazy. Which is hyperbole. Because all they're trying to say is, these people who are quote-unquote canceled, well, they're still rich. Or they still have some opportunities. I'm like, yeah, but all of them it's not the same for everyone, right? I mean, R. Kelly ain't booked a concert in a while, I'm pretty sure. And it doesn't mean his life is terrible, right? It doesn't mean, I don't know his day to day. He's still got money and all that. But to say it doesn't exist is dismissive, you know? So it's just about finding a good balance on this. But, you know, it's just a situation. It's like, yo, I think people want to live in an environment where they could just say whatever the fuck they want and no one says anything. Like, that kind of was my takeaway from the Chappelle special was, I want to say whatever the fuck I want about whoever I want, and I don't want anyone to say anything. And that's just fucking, it's naive. And it bespeaks to individuals who generally get whatever the fuck they want when they want. And it just doesn't work that way. For every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. Or in some cases, it's a not fair reaction. And I think that's definitely something collectively we have to deal with. And most of the time, it's coming from corporate America. Like, it's a reflection of motherfuckers who are trying to watch after their money, right? So I don't know. It's not something, like I said, I think everyone has their side pre-organized. There's very little latitude to kind of really hear. And maybe you guys hear this and you go, well, Doc, you have your viewpoint on this pretty mapped out and you're not really, you know, you're not flexible on that. And I just don't think that's true. You know, like, it bums me out what happened to Dave Ellison. I don't think he deserved to be fired for Megadeth. You know, that's, I think there are certain scenarios, like Louis C.K., I don't think deserved to be a pariah to the degree. I don't think, I'm forgetting the name of the guy from Master of None. I'm forgetting the name of the comedian, but I think there's several people that who have, and to some degree, like Louis C.K. has been pretty canceled, right? Does he still go out and do shows and make money? Sure. But does he have the platform he had and do, you know, is he hosting SNL and starring in movies like he was? No, he's not. So yeah, we got to figure out how to kind of deal with that to whatever degree that's healthy. But it's definitely something, like I said, that I don't think the environment, even the anti environment, is helping, because I think to some people it's kind of a badge of honor, and so it, if you embrace a bad person because the woke mob came after them, then you're doing it wrong as well. So I don't really know, but I think that's everything I wanted to talk about today. So hopefully it wasn't too weird. I don't know. I don't like talking. You know, sometimes I wonder, like, if you guys get bummed out if I'm talking about stuff that's not really music related. But I don't know. It's like I was looking through the headlines and I only had a couple music related topics. So just blast through it real quick. But anyway, hope you guys enjoyed it. Either way, so I wanted to play a song before I go, and it's by a band called Repentance. And it's a band of one of my good buddies, Sean Glass, who's been in band, who was formerly on this show. He was in bands like Soil and Dirge Within and Broken Hope. And we're going to play a brand new song from them called No Innocence. And it's from an EP that will be released on November 26th, entitled Volume 1 Reborn. And I hope you guys enjoy it. I like it. It's a pure metal riffing banger. So enjoy the song. Check them out. Go to their socials and tell them Doc Cole sent you. And anyway, I hope everyone has an excellent week. We'll be back next week kind of with a more normal show, normal guest, normal mic. Not in a hotel room. And we're back to your regularly bat-scheduled time and content. But actually, also wanted to thank everyone who bought the Bad Wolves record, Dear Monsters means the world. And if you ordered vinyl, you'll have it next year, eventually. So take care, y'all. Enjoy this song by Repentance. This one is entitled No Innocence.
Hello, everybody. I'm Bruce.
And I'm Nolan, and this is the Corner of Gray Street podcast. As longtime Dave Matthews Band fans, we set out to create a podcast to dive deep into the past, present, and future of DMB.
Not only do we recap and review shows within an ongoing tour, but we revisit past shows from throughout the band's history, conduct interviews with a wide variety of guests with ties to DMB, and create unique and exclusive content like our Concerts on the Corner series.
Whether you're a fan of the band or just a fan of great music, we think you'll find something you'll enjoy. We can't wait to see you on the Corner of Gray Street.